Okay, good evening, everyone. I hope that everybody's doing well. Just give me one moment to see where we're holding. I believe that is working now. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good evening, everyone. All right, I'm sharing the Makoros one more time in the chat so that you could reach them. Okay, it's so wonderful to see everybody. And even though it's a rainy night and getting a little cooler, still we have, Baruch Hashem, wonderful crown. I guess we're less affected. It's one of the brachos of this whole thing. But let's talk about where we're up to in Shmona Esrei. So we find ourselves now in the bracha of Rifa'enu. The bracha of Rifa'enu is obviously one that we've been excessively focused on over the last number of months as one of the most central challenges that we face throughout our lives is, of course, the challenge of health. And so therefore, this bracha takes on a particular resonance at this point in time, and it would be special and insightful to be able to understand some of the nuances of the bracha. The bracha of Rifa'enu, what we're going to reflect on this evening, is a bracha that is obviously embedded within the Bakashos. It's a bracha that relates to the things that we're asking God for. And in its most basic level, we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for health, and we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for healing. And as we're going to see, those are two different things. Health is a standing sense of stability in terms of our physical well-being. And healing, of course, relates to circumstances where there's some sort of particular crisis that requires divine intervention. One of the most important notions to keep in mind with the bracha of Rifa'enu is that because we so often, and this is actually a Gemara in, I believe in Brachos, if not in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that specifically when we want to daven for someone's health, we should embed that tefillah in the bracha of Rifa'enu. So therefore, we very often relate to it as a very interventional bracha for health. That something's wrong, there's a crisis, there's a problem, someone's very sick, someone requires a certain degree of salvation, and therefore they make it into the bracha of Rifa'enu. The same way the Chonin Hadas is not a bracha only for those extreme moments where we require a certain sense of divine wisdom, but rather it is also a bracha for our ongoing capacity to live life with a certain degree of insight and perspective and clarity, so that we don't reach situations that demand some sort of extraordinary insight that is sometimes elusive and requires some supernatural intervention on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide for us an insight that's really outside the scope of our normative capacity for intelligence. So the same way that's true about Chonin Hadas, the same way that's true about our Parnassah. We don't just daven for parnasa when, God forbid, someone loses a job. These are also brachos for a sustained sense of support from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And especially when it comes to the bracha of Rifa'enu, it is important to distinguish between these two things. Davening for healing and davening for health. So let's begin. Let's look at the bracha together for a moment in source number one. The bracha tells us that we recite Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe. Heal us Hashem and we shall be healed. Hoshienu v'nivasher. Interesting. Pulling from the language of the previous bracha, the concept of Yeshua. So Hoshienu v'nivasher. Save us and we will be saved. Ki, why should you do this? Ki sihiloseinu ata. Because you are our praise. We have to understand what that means. V'ha'ale refuah shlema l'chol makoseinu, and bring complete healing to all of our wounds. Ki keo melech rofei ne'eman v'rachaman ata, because you are God and you are a melech, you are a king. Rofei ne'eman, a faithful healer, v'rachaman, and a merciful healer, ata, you are, very direct, second person, very, Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the source of all blessing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rofe Chole Amo Yisra. And this is the Rav Osham who heals the sick of Amo Yisra. So it's a very fascinating bracha, and we're going to reflect on a number of elements of it, certainly not an exhaustive treatment, but a number of elements that relate to its origins and where it's really coming from, and how that, in fact, informs the way in which we should relate to certain aspects of the bracha, and what, in fact, we should be davening for at this moment. And there are some clues. There are some clues because there are some interesting elements to this bracha that are somewhat striking. First of all, the focus on Chole Amo Yisrael, right? Why isn't this more of a global bracha? Why isn't this? Because remember, Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that we're just asking for Hashem to heal Jewish people. It's a description. Baruch Atah Hashem, what are you, Hashem? You're the Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe Chole Kol Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu brings refuah to everyone. Why suddenly do we become somewhat particularistic in our characterization of God's role as a healer in relative to the Jewish people? And we're going to get to that. And what does this all mean? So let's begin. The Gemara in Megillah tells us in source number 2, Amar Rabbi Acha. Mitoch shenitna mila bishminis. So the Gemara is trying to determine what is the reason why Rifa'enu appears as the 8th bracha in the sequence of the Shemona Esrei. As we've mentioned many times, the brachos are not only meaningful in terms of their substance in and of themselves, but the context and the structure and the way in which the Shemona Esrei is put together, it's a journey, it's an evolving momentum that is carrying us towards something. Why is this positioned as number 8? Says the Gemara, a very interesting answer. Mitoch shenitna mila bishminis. Since mila, bris mila, circumcision, is something that occurs on the 8th day of the life of a Jewish boy, shetzricha refua, and mila, as we just read in a couple of parashios ago, we just read of Avram Avinu sitting outside in a Kadosh Baruch who needed to come be mevaker cholim because Avram Avinu had undergone the procedure of mila. Lefika kavu bishminis. Therefore, Chazal decided to establish it as the 8th bracha. Now, this answer of the Gemara sounds a little bit peculiar. On one hand, okay, there's some sort of thematic connection to the number 8. The number 8 in Jewish tradition is related to something that is very central and very foundational, that also is related to the concept that a human being requires healing. But it's a fascinating connection, because when we think about it, is mila really the best example? I mean, when we think about what we're really davening for here, we're not just davening for procedures that are ones that we're mandated to do, that somehow as a consequence requires healing, but rather we're relating to aspects of the human condition where there's some sort of failure or some sort of breakdown in the human physiological system that requires a Kadosh Baruch Hu to come and intervene and to heal the human being. Mila seems to be a peculiar source for all of this. Why is mila really the moment we're thinking about? I don't know. If I ask you to think about all the people who need healing that you daven for in Rifa'enu, I don't know how many of us daven for children who just had a mila. I don't know how many of us even daven when we're at a bris for the healing of a child who just had a mila. You know, this is part of the ritual, part of the procedure. This is what goes on. Why would that be the source of the world of Rifa'enu? So in order to understand the answer to this question, we need to take a step back a little bit and relate to how Yahadus really contends with the whole notion of illness altogether. So when we talk about what it means that people are sick and people are ill, so obviously we've spoken many times about the notion that we are not prophets, we are not Nevi'im, and we cannot ascribe particular causes to particular sufferings. However, the whole notion of the existence of illness in the world is actually extremely relevant to the larger question of Klal Yisrael's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's look together. So the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Shmos, right? It's the aftermath of the Shira. Klal Yisrael has just escaped Paro for the second time, not only emancipating the Jewish people from Mitzrayim itself, the Eser Makos, but now at the shores of the Yam Suf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following thing to the Jewish people. Vayomer, in source number 3, Vayomer im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem Elokecha. Hashem says, I want you to know that if you listen to everything that I'm going to tell you, Vayashar be'enav tasa, Vazanta l'mitzvosa, v'shamarta kol chuka, and if you follow in all of the statutes and all the expectations and everything that you're supposed to be doing, kol hamachalo asher samti v'mitzrayim, I want you to know that all the suffering and all the illness and all the ailments that you saw in Mitzrayim as part of the experience of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, I will not bring upon you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem, your healer. It's a fascinating pasuk, because if we think about it, it's a very interesting dimension of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to introduce at a very definitional moment. This is the moment immediately post Yetzias Mitzrayim. We just crystallized the identity of Klal Yisrael as this chosen nation. We're on our way to Kabbalah HaTorah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell us that I want to calm your apprehensions that you just saw. A dimension of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's power that was very overwhelming. You saw the unraveling of a whole society on so many levels, culminating with Makas Bechoros. You saw literally illness and suffering as the final straw that ultimately results in Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Jewish people's redemption. And you might think that these are things that could strike you at any time. Maybe, and you just witnessed Kriyas Yam Suf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost like a recalibration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell us, I'm not just a God of punishment and a God of accountability and a God of intervention in terms of power and moving things around. I'm also Ani Hashem Rofecha. I'm here to support you. I'm here to be here for you. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You saw the worst of the worst. You saw such an elevated experience of suffering. You witnessed such extraordinary moments of consternation for human beings. You should know that everything you witnessed, you could separate yourself from if you maintain your relationship with me, if you follow Torah and Mitzvot. And what this does, Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, is establishes two standing realities in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Number one, that our health and well-being are connected to our relationship with Hashem. That's number one. And number two, that the source of healing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. In fact, we're not going to get into it tonight, but the Gemara has a drasha that some Rishonim, it's a big machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this drasha. Rapo yirapei, the Torah tells us, that you're responsible if someone does damage to pay medical bills. You're responsible to pay medical bills. So the Gemara says, you should know, mikan, that there's rishus, that there's permission for a doctor to heal a human being. And there's a big discussion in Rishonim, what's the presumption that you would need such a limud? Anything from the extreme formulation of Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, who told you could intervene in the human being, who told you could play around with divine providence and what happens to people. Here's the matir, rapo yirape, you could go ahead and mitan rishus l'rapos, you could go ahead and you could heal people. And there are other understandings of it as well. But however you relate to that Gemara, this is a standing value and a standing defining feature of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our source of refuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our source of healing. And number two, just give me one moment. Okay, and number two, that there is an interconnectivity between how we comport ourselves spiritually and our physical well-being. And that is a layer of this bracha, as we're going to see in a moment. So the Yalkut Shimoni tells us the following, right under the pasuk. Kol ha-machala, asher samti b'mitzrayim lo'osim alecha, mal tamalomer ki ani Hashem rofecha. Yalkut Shimoni asks a very obvious question. If I'm telling you that if you do the right thing, I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to bring any of these machlas on you, and you won't see any illness, any problems, then why do I have to tell you, ki ani Hashem rofecha? Who needs Dr. God if nobody's going to see a problem to begin with? So says the Medrash, Ela Omer HaMakom LiYisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the Jewish people, Divrei Torah Shenasati Lachem, the words of Torah that I'm giving you, Chayim Eim Lachem, they are the source of your vitality, of your life. Refuah Hilachem, and they are the energizing, healing source of your being able to ultimately get better. Shenemar, ki chayim eim l'matzeim l'chol b'sur. So what is the Medrash telling us? The Medrash is telling us that there is a direct relationship between our commitment to the values and expectations of Torah and our health and physical well-being. And in fact, Rav Kook opens his Oros HaTshuva in source number 4 by making this very point. Rav Kook's Oros HaTshuva is a very fascinating work, and we've studied it together in the past many times. And his opening words present a number of different categories of tshuva. So says Rav Kook in source number 4, as a tshuva unamotzin b'shlosh marachos. There are different marachos, different categories of tshuva. Tshuva tivis, tshuva emunis, tshuva sichlis. We won't get into what all three are. He goes on to develop all of them. But tshuva tivis is the tshuva of nature, natural tshuva. So he writes, in natural tshuva, there are two different components. There's physical natural tshuva and the spiritual natural tshuva. But here's the important point. Look at the next paragraph. Hakufanit soveves es kol aaveros neged chukei ateva. That a person's body, a person's guf, contains all of the averos, all of the transgressions against the laws of nature. And ethics and Torah are all connected, are all intricately connected to nature itself. That at the end of the day, any type of behavior that is compromising in one's spiritual growth will ultimately yield machalos umachovim, will yield a certain degree of suffering, of illness. And you should know that a person suffers from this both individually and in the klal. The acharei haberur shemisbarer etzlo hadavar, and when a person reaches a certain degree of clarity regarding this, shehu beatzmo be'an agaso hara ashem ubechol oso dildo lachayim, that it is the individual's lifestyle and the individual's ethical lifestyle that is ultimately at the root or the cause of the deterioration of their life. Shebalo hare hu sam lev l'taken es hamatzav lashuv l'chukei achayim. That's when it will direct the individual to correct the circumstances and return to the fundamental principles of life. Lishmor es chukei ateva musar v'ator l'man yashuv yichyev shuvei l'bachayim b'chol ram hu sam, that this way your vitality can return to you. So the bracha of Rifa'enu is not a bracha that is presented in a vacuum. We don't come to the bracha of Rifa'enu with the attitude of entirely independent of our spiritual life. There is this isolated reality of physical suffering, and we want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to just bestow undeserved or anything. There was a knock at my door. Oh, saving a lot of money with the shit. So, an undeserved response of healing. But rather, the bracha of Rifa'en, as it is linked together with the bracha, the concept of Yeshua, the concept of the essence of this bracha, the essence of this bracha is to strive for healing that is actually rooted also in spiritual advancement as well, in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, it's more sophisticated than just heal me so I can do more mitzvos. It's that the concept of illness, the fact that we're suffering with illness or compromised health, is something that is influenced by our spiritual reality. And that doesn't mean that every time a person has a health issue that you could identify, that means they did something wrong. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does many things for many different reasons. But in the context of the tefillah, the two are interrelated. And any appeal for the Ribbono Shel Olam's physical intervention must always come along with ourselves striving for that spiritual progress. If we want to tap Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, then we have to also access the first part of the pasuk and extend ourselves in terms of that relationship. So the Beis Tefillah writes, not only that, but this bracha itself is a tefillah for spiritual healing as well. A person could be physically ill, and a person could also be, spiritually ill. And that's what the Beis Tefillah writes. But Amar bracha zu shi yiskadein amivakesh shein ikar tefillah zu levakashosu refuos aguf ela ikar tefillah zu lecholei lemadu dechesroni hanefesh hanigramim al yidei avonos agarim shemistav mitano zivashchina. That sometimes there are spiritual gaps that are manifesting themselves in this type of suffering. And again, we're not just talking about punishment. We're not discussing suffering as an expression of punishment. That's not the point here. The point is, what is the avenue? What is the road that ultimately leads to healing? And for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the context of Yadus, for this bracha, it's not exclusively just begging for mercy. It is rather deeply connected to the evolving relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general. Rav Ezra Bick, who's a Ram in the Gush, has a beautiful article about this bracha. And he makes this point from a little bit of a different perspective. It's in source number 6. We now understand the redundancy of heal us and we will be healed. The act of healing here is quite distinct from the result. The act of healing is not through medicines, but through closeness to God. In other words, what are we asking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the most important point. We're asking Hashem not to be our doctor. The doctor has physical medicinal strategies to try to address challenges in human physiology. We're not saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you be the doctor. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rufa'enu Hashem in Erafe, is there a way to somehow bridge this breach that's developed, that is manifesting itself as a sense of suffering, so that Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are not asking, as Yirmiyahu did not ask, we'll get to Yirmiyahu in a moment, for a particular medicine which will act against a particular germ or malady. We're not davening to Hashem, let the vaccine fall from the sky. The act of healing in general, a definition of Jewish existence, is accepting the covenant of God and the presence of God that goes with it. The result, health and life, is therefore not to be taken for a granted miracle, as promised by the verse which followed at the crossing of the sea. So in other words, we're asking, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rufa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafe, let our relationship and the closeness of that relationship manifest itself in the healing of the physical self. And now we understand also why it follows tshuva and slicha, because it's related to those brachos as well. It's tshuva, slicha, and then rifa'enu. It's Hashem, give me the wisdom and the clarity to know what to do. Give me the inspiration and the opportunity to be able to grow and come closer to you and have that manifest itself in forgiveness. Provide for me a context where I can be able to serve you in a redeemed existence. Give me at least the landscape to be able to live without the overwhelming and overpowering sense of personal exile that we daven for in Gal Yisrael. And now that I have that context for spiritual growth, now that I can grow, now I can ask you, Refa'enu Hashem b'nei Rofe. Because we have to together reach Ki ani Hashem Rofecha. Because I'm not just asking for Pfizer to figure out the vaccine. I'm asking for the relationship to bridge in such a way that the problem is undermined altogether. And then it's Hashem's business of how it goes away. Maybe with a vaccine, maybe naturally, maybe with herd immunity. That's Hashem's cheshbonos. We don't have to daven for a particular solution. We need this operation, this surgery. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. I will heal you if the relationship, the foundation is healed. And now maybe we understand why bris milah is such a part of this, because bris milah is about suffering that comes about as a result of the covenant of the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming together. The reality is that it is that bris, it is that covenant, it is that interrelationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a bris is. Hashem promises certain things to us and we promise certain things to Hashem. That's what Mefarshim say. That's what the bris ben abisarim is. You're cutting animals, you walk in between them. There's a covenant. It requires two sides. It requires commitments in both directions. And that's what we have for the world of Refuah. We have commitments in both directions. So that's what he writes. And that, for the same reason, that's why it says, it's followed by, save us and we will be saved. Because the real goal of the prayer is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst, which is expressed as health and life. This is such a different perspective on this bracha. I hope we're all appreciating it. It takes the bracha of Refa'enu from a transactional bracha of asking for a shopping list request of healing and moves it into the continuum of Shmona Esrei, which is really about affirming our dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how that dependency morphs into a relationship and how that relationship ultimately positions us as the beneficiaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy and support so that we could play the role we need to play in that relationship. And that's the bracha of Refa'enu. And in fact, he writes at the last paragraph, this further explains the enigmatic for you are, you know, tihila seinu ata. Which again, that once we realize that health here is not a gift in and of itself, but an expression of Hashem's presence within us and the fulfillment of his covenant with us, a covenant which on our side requires that we accept God as our Savior. So it becomes clear our existence is one where we praise Hashem and identify ourselves as people who praise Hashem, who carry his name on our lips. In other words, what we're saying now is, why should you heal me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why should you heal me? Because my whole life is about praising you. My whole life is about Kiddush Shem Shamayim. My whole life is about bringing you into this world. And since that's my life, Ki ani Hashem Rofecha, this is the deal. I need to be able to do that. I need to be able to advance that. And the greater degree I can, the greater degree you're worthy of that interventional healing. You know, it reminds me very much of what we've talked about in the past. Tshuva, tefila, utzedaka, mavir, nisra, gzeir. So we've discussed why tzedaka, right? Tshuva, I understand. You change the whole person. Tefila, foundational to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what does it mean that tzedaka is mavir, nisra, gzeir? So we explained once that when an individual gives tzedaka, it creates a certain dependency of somebody else on you. So now when a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges you, he has to take others into account. This is the ultimate manifestation of that calculus. This is Leman Shemecha. This is, I'm not just asking for healing. I'm not even just asking for healing so that I could do something nice for you. I'm asking for healing in the context of this relationship. That's Rifa'enu Hashem, the Ne'rafe. The Sisei Chaim writes in source number 7. He develops this point a little bit further, right? And he basically writes, why are we davening for refuah if it's all ultimately based on our spiritual growth? So it should really all ultimately be about spirituality. So he writes, if you look about 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down from the top, Kolomar she'atshukul kvod shemayim she'ifaso ha'ikaris bekachu metaken is chil Hashem she'aso b'cheto sharehu doeg meitzer b'tzar ha'shchina b'chol chavtzo hu she'yiyya kiddush Hashem ayidei siluk ha'yisurim u'v'kachu rotze yoser ma'asher b'tuel so ha'pratip yisurim b'sabon ha'sof. In other words, what he's saying is, so why are we davening for refuah? Because through davening for refuah, see, we're human beings. It's sometimes hard for us to start this process at the beginning of that pasuk. This is what the Sisei Chaim say. Sometimes we have to start that process from the end of the pasuk. So if you're a big tzaddik and you just really want to do whatever Hashem says, so then ki ani Hashem rofecha, and Hashem will take care of us. But sometimes that's very hard. And sometimes we look around at our life and we see a lot of challenges and a lot of difficulties and a lot of suffering. And we crave the Ani Hashem Rofecha. So the question is, what do we do with that Ani Hashem Rofecha? Where do we see the greatest compromise in the limitations that have been generated in our lives as a result of illness? Do we see those as the physical compromises, or do we see those as the spiritual compromises? If we see them as the physical compromises, then we're back to the transactional phase of, you're Hashem, we need you to have rachamim, please heal us. If we see the compromises ultimately as spiritual, like Hashem, when somebody's sick, they can't serve you in the way they want to serve you. And that's the motivating factor. That's what we're davening for. That's what we're davening for. So we open the Shemoneh Esrei, and we have somebody we're davening for, that Hashem should heal them. We shouldn't just think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please have rachamim on so-and-so, that they should get better. We should also think, we should also say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please have rachamim on so-and-so, they should get better. Because in the current circumstance, their life is so compromised in terms of what they're able to accomplish and what they're able to do and how they're able to bring Kvod Shemayim into the world and how they're able to advance the world in the way that you set up. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. They want to do what you want them to do. That's what this is about. And that's why, by the way, the bracha ends, Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael. Because this isn't just a bracha for healing. This isn't just a mishaberach. If that's what it was, it would apply to everybody in the world. We have compassion for everyone. It's a bracha about the relationship between healing and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, and that's what he says. Lefiza at the end of that section in source 7. Lefiza efshar lefarish kisila senu ata shahare tihilas Hashem shema alam shalchem oso ikasha anuron begilius ritzon lischaseid umidas tovo imbriosa. When we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu intervene like this, that's a source of tremendous, tremendous tehillah. Okay, let's look at the next source, source number 8. Actually, you know what? Let's go to source number 9 because we're running. So that's the pshat. So that's the pshat. And that's maybe why Mila is the example, because Mila is really the first time that healing relates to the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting because even the Bikur Cholim and the refuah that becomes part of that story is all presented in the context of Avram Avinu being restrained from doing what he ultimately wanted to do with his life, which is reach out to people, welcome people, host guests, do achnas asorchim, all these things. And it's the mila, it's not the mila, it's the maka of the mila, it's the pain, it's the tsar of the mila that results in Avram's inability to do what he wants to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram Avinu, and he provides this opportunity for Avram. It's interesting. Whether he healed the pain or he didn't heal the pain doesn't become the point anymore. The point now is, no, Avram, you can host guests. You can give of yourself. Here, I'll create this opportunity. And again, that's the context within which we're asking, for healing. And it's something to think about, that even if for some reason the Rabbon Shalom puts a person in a situation where physical healing is not forthcoming in the way that we want, so sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving a person a life circumstance where part of what they have to figure out is how they can be Mekadoshim Shemayim in that context with whatever reality has been provided. Okay, source number 9. This is Sechaim Rifa'enu. Madua kasher anu ponim el HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tfilah v'akshmen refuah. Why, when we turn to Hashem to ask for refuah, kasuv refuah rafa. We use the word refuah with a fey, rafa, soft, refuah. Kelomar beli dagesh. Okay, let's remember back a little bit to our days from Mrs. Rabinovich, who was my Hebrew teacher. Very amazing Hebrew teacher. So let's remember what's the story. Some letters, certain letters, right? Beged Kefet, I think. Certain letters can host a dagesh, and the dagesh transitions their pronunciation from one type to another type. So fe becomes pe with a dagesh. So when we're talking about Hashem, so we talk about refuah. Ve'ilu refuah b'yidei rofim basar v'dam. We talk about refuah for basar v'dam of a person, a doctor. We do it with a dagesh. Ve'rapo yirape. Rapo yirape. Shemikan lamdu chazal shenitin reshus l'rofe l'rfos, right? And that's what we spoke about before. That this is the source of permission for doctors to heal. Rapo yirape. So bepe digusha. What's the reason? So bila Rabbeinu Bechaye, quotes Rabbeinu Bechaye. Kol refuah bebasa bedam lo matzanu bechol aksuvim ki im bedagesh. All refuah that's initiated by a human being, we encounter always with a dagesh. Shuloshin kaveid vekasha. It's a language that is heavy and that is harsh. Abal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matzinu birafa. We find it soft. So this is already pointed out by the Rabbeinu Bechai. Psukim v'dar refuah baba ofen yashim Hashem yisparach. Psukim that talk about refuah straight from Hashem. And he quotes a number of examples. Refa'eni Hashem, the Erafe, v'ksiv harofe l'shvurei lev. It's really fascinating, the evidence of this. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. Ba'atam bazeh. So what's the reason? Ki a refua bebasar v'dam eino al yedei eino ella al yedei tsar v'toreach. Healing that occurs through human intervention almost inevitably is accompanied by some degree of pain or extraordinary effort. V'ushi yisbal asam o amashke amar. You have to be able to tolerate some sort of potion or bitter drink. And we know, and much worse, right? So there are many things that we know how to heal, but in order to heal them, we have to do things that are destructive, right? Many types of treatments require such a thing. Surgery itself requires such a thing. Aside from just having to put somebody under anesthesia, which itself is not the safest thing in the world, you know, all sorts of things, cutting into the human body, or risk of infection. Very few things can be healed without any consequences whatsoever. What does it mean to be healed by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? It means to be healed without any collateral damage at all. And that's why we start the bracha. That's why we start the bracha with a bracha refuah that has the softer fe, because we're asking for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's type of refuah. So this is also something to think about when we're davening for healing, that we daven not just for healing and for health, but that the process should be one that in and of itself does not entail tremendous suffering. That's something as well. Okay, what is the source for this bracha altogether? The source of this bracha is fascinating. It's actually lifted almost directly out of a pasuk in Navi. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us the following. The pasuk says, "Rifa'eni Hashem ve'erafei." You're going to recognize these words. Hashem, you should heal me. Hoshieni ve'ivasher, and you should save me. Ki sehilasi ata, right? Because I'm going to praise you. Be a source of praise for you. These are words that Yirmiyahu is writing in the context of Golos Yisrael. He's been through a lot. He's been through a tremendous amount of pain. He's been through alienation. He's been through being dismissed. He's been through all the suffering of Am Yisrael. He himself suffered. Rifa'eni Hashem be'rafei o'shieni v'yivashah kislasi ato. So the Abu Draham, a very famous Abu Draham on this bracha, notices, well, actually he quotes, it's really from the Torah, but he writes the following. Rifa'eni Hashem be'rafei, source number 11. Pasuk u'b'yirmiyah, is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, be'loshon yachid. The pasuk is actually in the singular. It's an appeal from Yirmiyahu himself. The Afagab Darmirim Tosefta. We have a Tosefta Megillah that tells us, Kol HaKosei L'Rabim Emachnos HaLiyachin L'Yachin Emachnos HaLiRabim, that when you are quoting psukim, right, you're not permitted to reconjugate those psukim from singular to plural or from plural to singular to sort of just project your own meaning from the pasuk. You have to remain faithful to the integrity of the psukim themselves. And here, we depart from that consistency. And rather, we take a pasuk and we lift it almost verbatim into a bracha in Shmona Esrei, and we entirely transform it into a bracha b'rabim. So he quotes two answers of why you would be permitted to do such a thing. One answer is the Ramah. Perish Ramah, Davka b'targum ha-metargim ha-psukim. He writes, you know when you're not allowed to do that? Specifically when you're translating the psukim. You cannot editorialize these psukim by transitioning them from being in the singular to being in the plural, from the plural to the singular, because it fits the particular message that you want to convey. This has become somewhat popular in modern Jewish music, even modern Hasidic music, to take psukim, series of psukim, and to reconstruct them, reorient them, reconjugate them, and essentially recreate your own message with the phraseology of Tanakh, but reconstructed in the way that you want to portray. So that's become very popular. And so it's interesting that we do that. So maybe for the purpose of music, one could do that. But for the purpose, as we'll see soon, maybe music is more comparable to tefillah. But for this purpose, the purpose of teaching and translating and conveying the intellectual integrity of the material, you're not permitted to do that. However, he writes that when you're dealing with the context of tefillah, where the goal is not to understand what these words mean, but to use them to emote the feelings and sentiments and internal emotions of the human being, so then you are permitted to do so. Why would you be permitted to do so? Because again, the purpose of tefillah is not to connect intellectually. The purpose of tefillah is to connect existentially. The purpose of tefillah is to find from within ourselves, a very deep place from within ourselves, and express certain sentiments towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in dialogue with the Rabbono Shlomo. So to contextualize the words of Yirmiyahu, which were really a expression, a prophetically inspired formulation of what it means to feel entirely out of control of your own personal well-being and be deferential to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should take control of your well-being. And clearly, within the context of what was a deterioration spiritually. So to take that and contextualize it into tefillah, so one is absolutely permitted to transition the words in such a manner that they now express the sentiment as it's more authentic to the context and not to the originating source. And why is it more resonant to the context? Because Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei. We don't just pray for individuals. We pray for the entirety of community. We pray for each other. We pray for the health of everyone. And so therefore, that becomes, so he quotes another answer as well. It's somewhat similar, but also makes some sort of distinction that if you're quoting an entire piece, then it's different than when you're quoting particular psukim. But this is actually a very significant point. It's so significant that the Shulchan Aruch, when it discusses the bracha of Rifa'enu, this is what it talks about. The Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 12, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei, af agav da'akos of liyochid, and mechayel so l'rabim, anem li bismach v'chayel li'kos of al, sh'omer oso, derech tfila u'bakosha mutter. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this l'halacha, and you're wondering, like, you know, usually the halachos that are found in Shulchan Aruch are not descriptive or, you know, characterological. They're instructional. This is what you should do. You know, this is how you should comport yourself. And yet here, the Shulchan Aruch seems to relate to this as some sort of, again, it's raised in the Torah. Obviously, the Beis Yosef is aware of it. But still, the fact that it makes it into the codification of the halachic issues is itself very fascinating. And it means that there's something very practical about this issue. And that is, perhaps, the notion that part of what is accomplished through the bracha of refuah is the connection of one's individual challenges to the larger global care and concern and achdus and interdependency of Klal Yisrael. That it's not just about me and what I need, it's the healing of everyone. The healing just of me is not good enough. Why? Why? Because if this all comes back to how we began, because if this bracha is just a transactional appeal for health, and that's all this is, a good mishaberach et mencha, if that's what this is, so okay, so I'm not saying we shouldn't daven for other people, but who cares about you? Who cares about you? Who cares about you? And you're not even on the first page of the Zoom. Like, who cares about you? I care about me. I need to be healthy. I need to have vitality. I need to be able to do what I'm going to do. But if the purpose of health, this tefillah, the purpose of this tefillah is not just a transactional appeal to the Ribbono Shel Olam for somebody to get better quick. It's not just a nice card, Hallmark card. We hope you get well soon, Hashem, please help us. But rather, it's much more in the context of advancing Klal Yisrael and why we're here in this world and what we've been put here to accomplish and what our mandate is on a global level. It's really, then it's all about Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. You know why Yaakov has to be healthy? Yaakov has to be healthy because he has a role to play in the larger community. But that ultimate goal of Klal Yisrael can't be fulfilled if that guy's sick either. And that guy's sick either. And that guy's sick either. So guess what? We need everyone healthy. Because this is a national issue. This is a global issue. This isn't just about me having a good life. This is about Klal Yisrael being able to advance what the Jewish people are here to accomplish. Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. We need the whole Am Yisrael. We need everybody. And if we don't have everybody, then we can't accomplish everything we're supposed to accomplish. Refuah is introduced into the dimension of our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in a very national moment, in the aftermath of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, when nobody's thinking about themselves. It's all about the Klal. It's all about all of us. And so that globalizes the bracha of Rifa'enu, that it's not just about me and me being better and me being healthy. It's a much, much larger picture that we're trying to accomplish here. We're davening for the health of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael has something to accomplish. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we need particular intervention with Chaim, Ben, whoever, because he has a role to play. He has a role to play. And because of this sickness, because of this illness, that's holding him back. And if it's holding him back, it's holding me back. Because we're all part of this. We're all one big nation. doesn't work if some of the Jewish people are ready to move forward and some are not. Everybody's interconnected. Everybody's part of this. That's why when there are machlos that affect the entirety of Klal Yisrael, they're so much more poignant in terms of being a directive for communal introspection. Because when it's not just trying to hit a few people here and there, but when it is ubiquitous in its impact on the Jewish people as a whole, then that means that it's not just that we're missing this contribution and that contribution, like Rav Kook writes, the beginning of Aras HaTshuva. You have to realign where we're supposed to be so that you could get to that space where the health becomes intuitive, because that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you, Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. But rather, there's some sort of more global disconnect. There's some sort of larger challenge with where Klal Yisrael's holding in the world. And that's when the reaction and response has to be communal as well. And those are all the Gemaras and Tainis, that when there's a plague, that there are communal Tanesim, and there are communal reactions to these things. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainis, we're supposed to be introspective and figure out what's wrong. We're supposed to figure out what's wrong. Because as Rav Kook writes, if everything was perfect and everything was right, then that should manifest itself in the physical world as well. And that should manifest itself in the covenant between Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people, Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. So it's a challenging bracha. It's a bracha that means a lot to a lot of us. It's a very personal bracha. It's a very real bracha. We should think about davening for our own health. We should think about davening for everybody else's health. We should think about davening for healing, for people and for ourselves, when we need to make sure that something is what it is. But we should also keep in mind that it's connected to something much, much bigger. It's not just transactional. It's part of moving Klal Yisrael forward, and it's part of moving Am Yisrael forward. And that's why it becomes the bridge, Rufa'enu. And that will get us to the following brachos, to the brachos of Parnassa, to be able to support Am Yisrael, and to then ultimately to where we need to get to for our Gula. Okay, want to wish everyone an amazing night and a healthy night, and Baruch Hashem. See you all Shabbos, Be'ezus Hashem.